Dear friends, in this weekly study of this great scripture, we have been discussing for last some classes that our mind needs to be turned towards God so that our personality can get properly illumined. Our life can get actually filled with the presence of the divine. And therefore, we need to feel, not just to understand, but to feel that God is the essence of everything. Whatever we are actually seeking in life is just an expression of God. And therefore, when we know this, our mind will turn towards God. That doesn't mean, friends, that then we will not love our friends, our relatives, our family members. No, we will love them much more, but we will love them without attachment. Love is one thing, attachment is quite a different thing. See, if you love something, for example, you love a box. Now, if you know that the box contains a huge treasure, then will you not love the box all the more? There is all the more reason to love that box. So when you know that all the persons that you are meeting, seeing, or coming in contact with, they as such are just the boxes. Within them is the divine. Then automatically our love will be much more. It is therefore good to learn that when you love somebody as just a person, a name and a form, something that keeps on changing all the time, our love also keeps on shifting. Love today, hate tomorrow. It doesn't last much. But if our love is based on something that is everlasting, then it doesn't matter whether the form or the expression changes or not. The love remains because it was based on something that is lasting rather than something that is flimsy and changing. So therefore, Lord is showing us that yes, you have to have a great love in life. And how can you have it? By basing it on something that is tangible, something that is real, something that does not keep on shifting or changing. And what is that? That is God. So, in this verse that we started discussing in the last class, that 12th verse in the 7th chapter, Ye chaiva sattvika bhava rajasastamasaschaye matte vetitan viddhi natvaham teshu te mai. All those sattvika, that is serene, rajasika, active, and tamasika, passive states that are there, know them to be born of me alone. But I am not in them, though they abide in me. Different forms that arise, there is a variety in them. And what is that variety? That is technically called the different manifestations of the three qualities or three substances, three materials, one that causes us to be highly active. Many desires are boiling in us, after them to fulfill them, that spirit of being constantly active. And we cannot just sit idle for a long time. Even if we are told that, well, you don't have to do any work, your food will be brought to your table right there. You just sit. Don't do anything. Don't make any movement. That spirit of activity will not let us do that. We will say, no, I get just terribly bored sitting just at one place. I need to do something, run about. Then there is the spirit of inertia, the material that we have, that we get tired and feel that let me just rest. We become inertiatic, lazy, don't want to do anything. It is that also overtakes us at times, that enough now, let me just sleep, lie down, don't do anything. And then there is a state which is beyond these two, the state of serenity, where we are in touch with our inner divine. And that makes us full of knowledge, happiness, and serenity manifests through us. So everything in the world is made of these three materials. And whatever we see that is coming out of this, all the different things in the world, each thing is different from the other. You cannot find two exactly same things. There is a difference. Somewhere there is a difference. Some one thing associated with that will be different from another. Even with the identical twins, you will see there will be some features which differ. Not all tendencies will be the same. Even if you take two atoms of the same element, they will have differences. Not all of them will be same. Even if you take two electrons in the same atom, they will not be same. They will have some difference in them, that by which you can actually number them and identify them. So, it is, everything is different, and yet all, each of them is manifestation of God. And what is different in them is this combination of sattva, rajas, tamas, that material that makes you calm, serene, composed, then the one that makes us active, rush about, and the third that makes us inertiatic and feel that, well, it is enough, lie down. Like they tell that a person, there was a competition as to who is the laziest person. And a person that was pointed out, look, that he is sitting all the time, doesn't do anything. That man is the laziest one. Then another pointed out, no, he can't be the first, the winner. He can at most be the second best. Who is the best? Look, you see that man on the top of the tree there? But no, he cannot be. Other person said, no, he took the trouble of climbing the tree. No, not that, the tree grew under him. So he's so lazy that the tree grew under him. So that is the laziest person. But look at that, that is the tamasic expression. Doesn't want to move, doesn't want to do anything. If you tell at that time to that person, Come on, you wanted to see that movie, is it not? Don't talk to me right now, I am just fine. The person gets irritated very quickly at that time. It is because just wants to lie down, is not comfortable with himself, lot of irritation is inside. Not that there are no desires, but there is no activity to fulfill those desires either. So, that is the tamasika spirit. So, all these are the expressions that we see that differentiate everything around. But Lord says, know that they are from me. They come and they be in me and merge in me. They keep on shifting all the time. Where you see at one time very active expression, there itself you will see a lethargic expression. And there itself you will also see a serene, calm, that kind of loving expression too. So all these three you will see coming and going, changing like the wave patterns. You see waves rising, going up to their top level and again falling down. So all these expressions around, the Lord says, they are from me. They are from me. And that me means God. But why the word me is used there, from me? We can think of it as from our innermost core of being, that is God. We need not think of God only as sitting somewhere above the seventh cloud or ninth cloud or whatever and directing the affairs of the world. No. It is from me. Do you not see this? That whole world rises from you. Take for instance that you are asleep and you are not conscious of anything. Is the world real for you at that time? It is not real. You are not conscious of it. When you slowly wake up, then the forms start appearing. Then the sense of reality starts setting in. Where from has it risen actually? It was risen from you. Your body also rose from that awareness actually. It is, everything comes into being from that sense of awareness. So it actually came from you. And that was a constant entity that never changed. The sense of I, that I am, from which all these expressions like the waves on the ocean came out, stayed and went back. That sense I am, that remains continuously there. So you can see in dream where from all that world comes. In the dream you are there. You are, maybe in the dream, you are flying and you have wings there. You can fly in dream like that. And now where from that you and the sky that you are flying in and the various objects that you see there, you are in dialogue, conversation with a wild eagle there. That how do you feel being symbol of United States, and all that questions you can ask at that time to the wild eagle, and you can have a very nice conversation. But, well, where from has it all sprung? Where is that universe? It is coming from you, merging back in you. It doesn't stay. When you wake up, another universe takes place of that. That is also springing from you. it is, you can know it by various analysis, ways of analysis. Have you ever come across the world, experience of the world in which you are not there? You have to be always there for every experience. Even in the dream, you do not see a dream in which you are not the viewer or seer of it. You are part in every dream. You are part in every waking state experience. The experience changes, but this particular part does not change, because that is the source from which everything is coming up. So, this is to be felt, that this whole world is the expression of my true nature. It is rising and falling there. That is our true nature, just as only a little part of my mind or my awareness was expressed in my dream picture. When I was seeing the dream, only a little of me was getting expressed there. So also in the waking state, only a little of me is getting expressed there. It is like a wave. It is just one expression, very little expression of the ocean. But in essence, it is the whole ocean. It has nothing else but the ocean itself. So, therefore, let us feel that this whole universe is just rising and falling in me, that is Lord. And this body also is rising and falling in that. This is a very beautiful way of meditating, friends, that feel that all this is rising and falling in my true nature, which is infinite, which is divine, and which has no limitation, which is perfection itself. All the changing expressions rise in it, stay in it, and go back in it like the waves come and go. So, let us feel this reality that is penetrating in and through each and every changing expression here. So, that is why Lord says that it is all from me. I am the source of all that. But because of that, do not think that I get caught in it. I do not get caught in any of these things. The difference between the God and man is that a man gets caught in the creation. God does not get caught in the creation. God is like a very beautiful expression. Swami Vivekananda has used it a few times. It is found also in the Greek philosopher Plotinus' writings, that the difference between God and man, that a man is a circle whose circumference is infinite, but the center is at one point. God, first part is same. God also is a circle whose circumference is infinite, nowhere. The circumference is nowhere. And the center is everywhere. It is here that the difference between God and man is. Man, I is felt only in one little center somewhere. I am here. Here a different person, you know. It is I only this much. But with God, what happens? The center is everywhere. in every expression, that center is God. So, therefore, God doesn't get caught in any of the expressions. Like, every wave rises in the ocean, but ocean doesn't get caught in any of the waves. Now, this is to make us understand, this verse is psychologically very important, because many of us read only this part, that, well, God has become everything. God is in everything. So even if I am attached to, say, my wife or my husband or my friend or my so-and-so, after all, it is God. I am attached to God, is it not? Well, the question is, are you caught in it or not? And do you have that universal awareness, universal consciousness? Then it is a different thing. God doesn't get caught in anything. That is very important differentiating character. That everything is God. And so, in fact, I get this question many times. Even if I am loving my, say, dog, am I not following religion? I am just practicing spirituality. Because God is in dog also, is it not? Yes, very true. But are you loving the God or are you loving the form? That is what decides whether you become free or you get caught and bound. That is what decides whether you get the bliss or you get the suffering. If you are attached to form, if you get caught in a particular form, then the result is suffering, because the form changes, goes away very quickly. Even before you can catch hold of it, it's gone. But the essence stays. So, therefore, if you are loving the essence, you become free. If you are loving God, then you become free. If you are loving a limited expression, you get caught in it. You are jailed, so to say, bound. The difference between that God or a person who has realized identity with God, then what is again another way of understanding this difference is, somebody who is that jailed in the house arrest, and that house has been made his that person's jail. That fellow is put under house arrest, cannot go out. Now, that house is a prison. Another person owns the house, is free. So, what is the difference? Then he can go out if Charles feels that, well, let me go to Vedanta Society. He comes out of his apartment, goes to Vedanta Society. If he feels like, let me go to the movie theater, he can go and do that. He can go for shopping, he can go for his work, he can go for his walk, anywhere. The house is that free entry for him, can go anytime, come out anytime. But look at us. If we are kind of caught in the body consciousness, that our awareness that I am this body, we cannot get rid of it. And then we get therefore similarly attached to other bodies. And thus try to get some semblance of happiness from associating with them, playing with them, and forming certain relationships with them. But it is all, since it is all in the prison, it is not leading to liberation. When we know the truth that we are really everywhere, then that is what liberates us. So we have to feel this truth that if we have only a limited that awareness, I am this body, we are caught in it. But when we see that my true nature, there are so many bodies come and go. I am not caught in any of them. They are my expressions, but I am not in them. So, therefore, Lord makes it clear that I am not caught in them. It is a very beautiful discussion that comes in Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna a few times. That a question pertaining to very much what is being discussed here comes, that whether God is in Maya or not in Maya, whether all this creation springs up from God. You say that it is all comes from God. So God also must be getting bound in it, is it not? God gets bound in it. So no, Sri Ramakrishna said that God does not get bound in it. It is no doubt that creation comes from God, but God does not get bound in it. And the analogy he gives is that although the poison is in the snake does not die because of that poison, but the fellow whom that snake bites, that fellow dies. So, similarly, although the Maya or this whole illusory creation is in God, God does not get bound by it. An ordinary person thinks it to be real and gets bound. So, we have to have the penetrative eyes. Just as whenever we try to see anything that we like, then we try to feel the essence, the inner core of it. If you have, a candy, for eating it, you have to open the cover of it, then you eat it. It is similarly, you have to take the cover off everything and you will see that then everything is same. Take the cover of body out. That is in Vedanta called by a very beautiful name, Pancha Kosha Vivarana. Kosha means coverings. We have these five coverings, five sheets of coverings. And when you remove these sheets, then you come to essence. Like a burr, it is, you get some packets containing maybe that very valuable something. And there are many covers so that it should not get damaged, delicate things. And then there is one cover, you open it, discard it. Another cover inside that, open, discard. And then you go down like that, and then may you ultimately reach the pearl, very valuable pearl that comes out. So, you get that there. It is like that you take out the sheath called body. Body is taken out. Then you reach a great freedom just by this one uncovering. Just first uncovering takes us, beyond all considerations of birth and death and age and sex and all that stuff, poor and rich. All these considerations just disappear when this idea of body goes away. Then the covering of the energy sheet, as it is called, energy sheet, pranamaya kosha. Energy sheet means, you can call it vital sheet. Translations are difficult. But vital sheet or energy sheet, what does it mean is that all our different organs, eyes, ears, organs means not exactly the outer fittings, but the brain centers. And a person may feel that I am not just the body, but all the sense organs, motor organs, and the vitality in me, that life in me. So that is another sheath. Take it out. Then the third is called mental sheath, Manomaya Kosha. Now you can take that also off the sheath constituting all the emotions. Take that out. Then inside that is the intellectual sheath, Vijnanamaya Kosha, sheath of intellect. That understanding, I know this, I don't know this, and so forth. Take that also off. Inside there is what is called bliss sheath. All these sheaths, every time to take off one sheath, you feel more and more happiness. Because the core is happiness. And the more the sheaths, more it gets covered and less expressed. So what little happiness we get in the world is very, very tiny. See, five sheets are covering it. So how little can get expressed? Just very little gets expressed there. But as you start taking off the sheet after sheet, when you take off the four sheets, now it is almost all expressed. It is not fully available, but you can now feel very strongly the presence of it. It is right there. You are able to actually see it, but still you cannot fully assimilate it. One more little tiny sheet is still there. That is called the bliss sheet. Take it off. And then, what is left? Now it cannot be told. What was, what is, that is beyond words. It is our true nature. It cannot be expressed in words. And therefore, it is not something that is bound. It is not an expression of these sattva, rajas, tamas. It is beyond that. From that every expression comes, but it doesn't get caught in anything. So this is an understanding that we have to inculcate in us. That the next verse is also trying to explain this. Tribhir gunamayair bhavai ebhis sarvamidam jagat mohitam nabhijanati mamebhya paramavyayam. All this world, deluded by the three states composed of the gunas, does not know me, who am beyond these and immutable. We get deluded by these expressions and therefore do not know the inner content. Miss Lord, because of whom all that was appearing, because of whose bliss everything was reflecting that bliss, all that was coming and was becoming possible because of that inner essence. So we miss that inner essence because we get deluded only by the outer expression. So this is a big difference, that to understand the world as expression of divine, great. It gives us the essence. If we don't understand this and stick only to the outer form, then I explained it many times with the example that then you are only holding a cookie box and licking it. That doesn't give you any pleasure. You therefore try to bite it once or twice and you throw it. So similar Generally, we throw things here, something that you feel that you love it so much. Now, many times our behavior is like children, kids, you know. They like a toy a great deal at one point. And then give them something else. I want that. Okay, and then they throw that first toy. Gone. So, grown-ups are not very different. They like one thing at one point, another thing at another point. Why does it happen? Why do they like that thing even in the first place? They like it because there is inside some content that is likable. But unfortunately, they don't fathom deep enough to get it. They only try to stick to the outer expression, and therefore they do not get that bliss. They get frustrated after 1 or 2 or 3 or 10 attempts. They get frustrated and discard that thing, take up another thing. Again, same thing happens there too. It is not that it is the fault of that cookie box. You may feel that this box is not good. Let me bite at another box there. What the same result is going to happen there to the box? It is not fault of the box. You don't know how to use it. Many of those modern gadgets as such, you know, you need to learn how to use it. Not that they are bad, but if you just keep on, you know, superficially handling here, there, and nothing, it doesn't work. If the person who knows comes and tells you, hey, not like that, like this, open it, and then you will know how to use it, then it starts working. So, all these names and forms, we don't know how to actually get bliss from them. It is there, but you have to penetrate. You don't get it outside. You don't get it in the particular name or form or in the body. You have to go deeper and deeper and deeper, penetrating all sheets, and there you see that it is, you are one with it. There is nothing else. So, therefore, Lord uses this word that ordinary people around, they get deluded by only the boxes, the names and the forms. And therefore, do not see me who is the unchanging, immutable essence of all of these. So, that is what we need to understand and feel. Then how to do it? How to get over this delusion? We decide, well, from today I will get rid of the delusion that Vishal thinks, oh good, I understood now. From now onwards I will get rid of all delusion. How to do it? That doesn't mean, what should I do? Should I stand on my head or what? How the delusion is to be gotten rid of? Preventing, we have to work. Is it not properly to get rid of the delusion? What is to be done? Lord says, hey, I will tell you what is to be done. Daivi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mame vaye prapadyante mayametam tarantite. 14th verse. This divine illusion of mine, constituted of the gunas, is indeed hard to surmount. Those who take refuge in me alone get over this illusion. Those who take refuge in me alone. It may appear that Lord is kind of egotistic here. come to me, then only you will get it. Or a fanatic, as if there is no other way. Well, not like that. The word me is to be understood in a very broad sense. Me, that is, we all refer to our own reality. That I, which is in everything, that is being referred to. You will read the same sentence uttered by Jesus also. Almost same words. Come to ye all who are laden by the burdens here, ye all come to me, I will give you rest. It is a very similar idea that you have to take recourse to someone who is not bound. Then that person will be able to free you. Otherwise, it is just one blind leading to another blind, and both fall in the ditch. So it is, it can't free us. We cannot take help of another similarly deluded person. That similarly deluded person could be a big figure in the world. In politics or in some other field, in the literary field, has a big name. Very highly intelligent person, maybe very rich person, maybe a great artist. But that is not what can take you out of this delusion. You have to take help of the one who is not deluded by names and forms, who has realized the truth, who knows the truth. That person can actually lead us to liberation. And not the one who is equally struggling like us. It is, once we had a driver for our van that goes to mobile dispensary work, we needed to appoint a driver. And one Swami who was looking for that, he said to me that, look, this boy is very nice. I spoke to him and he looks a very good, well-behaved boy, and we can appoint him. He said that he doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink, and he is ready to do all the other works also associated with it. And I said, fine, very good. But how does he drive? That is the important question. You know, he may be a very good, well-behaved person. And we can give him a character certificate. But the question is, how does he drive? Because we want to appoint that person as a driver there. So, he may be very good in many other respects. But does he have the adequate driving skills required to drive in that terribly difficult hilly regions? That is what we have to see there. Because the purpose is to be seen. When we want to get liberated, what is the use of taking the help of someone who may be great in some other respect, maybe a celebrity, a big movie star? Fine, he may get an Oscar, but does that mean that he is able to free you from the delusion? No. We must remember here that one who is free can free us. The one who is not deluded can bring illumination to us. And therefore, Lord says that mameva ye prapadyante, those who come to me alone. That alone is the way to overcome this delusion. Taking refuge in Lord. That there is no other way, friends. taking a refuge in Lord doesn't mean we are surrendering to somebody. Many people come with this objection. I like that non-dual Vedanta. No question of I am God. Why should I surrender to somebody? Well, that person surrenders to his wife very quickly, you know. Doesn't mind surrendering to wife. But when it comes to surrender to God, then there is a problem, you know. Why should I surrender to... that person surrenders to lust and greed very easily. And surrenders to money very quickly. But doesn't... at that time, this, why should I surrender? I am divine. Why should I surrender to these tendencies? That question doesn't come. It is only when surrender to God, then only why should I surrender? Well, here this surrendering means that do not bank upon your ego, because that is the problem, that is the source of bondage. I will get liberated. It is not possible. I itself being the bondage. Therefore, surrender this I in the big I. It is not surrendering of one person to another person. It is surrendering our false ego into our true individuality. It is the surrender of the waveness into oceanness. These are not very grammatically correct words, but that is how I can express it. You see, that our waveness, that I am a little tiny wave, that needs to be surrendered, given up. And where is to be given up? In the truth that I am the ocean. Surrender, that is surrender. Surrender it to God who is everything. That is the true surrender. If we don't, then okay, then that means you are holding on to ego. And thus you are, by definition, you remain bound. Nobody is piling up bondage on you. As Swami Vivekananda beautifully puts in that song of Sannyasin, that thine is the hand that holds the rope that drags you on. And I feel that somebody is dragging me on. Well, I am holding the rope, and therefore I am getting dragged as the rope is being pulled. So only thing, surrender, give up thy hold, give up thy hold. Sannyasin bold, say Om Tat Sat Om. That is taking refuge in God. It is a very important message here, that unless we are ready to take refuge in Lord, it is not going to be of much help to go on having a lot of philosophical, intellectual, hair-splitting arguments will make our head heavy after a time, that's all. But the true progress in life will come when we understand this principle of taking refuge in God. It is taking refuge in reality, taking refuge in truth. That is what it all means. It is, there is no other way. If you want to know the truth, well, what do you want to do then? What you need to do is just give up the attachment to untruth. And then that is taking refuge in truth. It is not very easy, but gradually we have to practice. Not easy because we are habituated. We are creatures of habit. Whatever we do, since we are doing it for many, many days, many, many years, anything different from that becomes difficult. It is therefore through assiduous practice, gradually we come to this feel that yes, God is with me. Slowly we will get that feel, you know, God is with me. Through that surrender, spirit of surrender, we can feel the presence. Yes, God is with me. Like that beautiful song, sometimes we sing it here, that I come to the garden alone. And then I feel there the presence of Lord, that He walks with me and He talks with me. And I see Him everywhere. That it is that feel that comes to us through this idea of surrender. Mayam etam tarantite. Those alone cross over this ocean of Maya. Otherwise, we are getting drowned in that again and again in this cycle of birth and death. That is why this understanding of surrender to Lord is brought here. As I was telling earlier also, that from the seventh chapter begins the idea of devotion, changing the mind, turning the mind to Lord. Bhagavad Gita is a very comprehensive science. It touches every aspect of our personality. The intellect is one aspect, action is another aspect, and feeling, emotions, love is another aspect. So that aspect is being touched here, that touch, surrender yourself to Lord. And you will see that now the progress takes place in life because now you are tied to God. And we will take up these ideas more and more as we proceed. Lord says that those who consider themselves to be very knowledgeable and feel that they alone can do everything, they don't need to take refuge in God or something, I can do it myself. Such people, he calls them that lowest kind of human beings, Naradhamaha. They never turn their attention to the Lord, who is the underlying reality. And then there are those who turn their minds to God. There are four different categories. We shall look at those things as we proceed. Any questions? Yes, Charles?
I have two questions. You said that if you worship God in a dog, that's different from looking at the form of the dog, or for that matter, in a person. But unless you've experienced samadhi already, how would you go beyond the form and worship God in the person or the dog?
Very good question. He says that unless we have the experience of samadhi, the highest realization of the truth, how can we see God in a form and worship it? It is not possible to see actually, but that is where the question of imagination comes. That feel it, that you one can at least see this, that the form is not real, and that makes us feel something that is real. It is that process is to be applied. It is, and thus we will be able to feel it more and more, and that will lead us into samadhi. And what is your next question?
When you are having a dream at night when you're asleep, and you dream that there are other people there, they're not really other people that are conscious, you're just projecting them. Well, how do we know in the waking life that we're not just projecting the other people? How do we know that there are really other people having conscious experiences with us?
Well, it is a very valid question. He asked that in the dream, it is all our dream. We do not know those those other people, whether they are thinking or not. What about this, what we call real world? Same thing there also, not different at all. We imagine this whole thing is an imagination. But remember, it is not imagination of this that is seen in the waking. It is just as the dream is imagination of the fellow who is sleeping and not imagination of the fellow who is acting in that dream. Do you get it? That the person who is asleep, that person's imagination is creating his or her own form also along with other forms. So that form is not imagining the dream. It is not its imagination. For that form it is real. Now for this person it is imaginary. So now this is real for this form. But it is imagination of my deeper layer of my existence. What is that movie recently, that dream after dream? Inception, yeah. Exactly, you know that dreams, you know, dream, in the dream again you can get into another level of dream. You may dream that you are dreaming. And in that dream you can have another being there. These are all beautiful, very deep and very helpful ideas, provided we can make use of them in life. They are explored by a great teacher of Vedanta, Gaudapada. He was the Shankaracharya's teacher's teacher and has written that beautiful commentary, verse commentary on Mandukya Upanishad, which describes these ideas. Any other question? Yes, George? I didn't get the question. Yes. Yeah. Oh well, if they are, they have found peace. Fine, you know, it is not that it's, see, this saying that I have found peace is one thing, and finding peace is another thing. Anybody can say that I have found peace and will start pick up a quarrel with me. Don't you know that I have found peace? So that knows, that shows, you know, that what kind of peace it could be. So it is not necessarily that their saying makes that them that peaceful. It, they may have, and if they have found, then it is great, you know, that is acceptable, of course. Well, that is their idea. If they feel that that is their only way, and then let them revel in their idea. What can you do, you know? You don't have to... That Mahatma Gandhi used to say that if you point out the mistake of somebody to that person once, then that person should be ashamed, you know, that, oh, I've committed this folly. But then, if you have to tell that person a second time, then you should be ashamed. That why your words don't carry at all meaning to that person. It doesn't carry any sense to that person. So therefore, one doesn't need to, you know, tell them Godspeed, excellent, fine, go ahead. Yeah. Well, let them follow that. They need not worry about others. No? Yeah, that is, there are so many types of people in the world, you know. That's fine if that is the way that is convenient to them. Let them follow that. And we should say them, Godspeed. Come on, go ahead. Well, you follow them if there is no other way. Follow your way. Excellent idea. Very good. Naomi, you have any question? Not nothing today? Okay. So, we shall conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarehi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvinisrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko